F1A. Number 4A.
Now we take page 20 from my book, The Minor Prophets in the Light of Christian Science, and you open it at page 20. Then, besides that, open up the study aid book at page 100. Study aid book at page 100. So, we take now that matrix on page 20, and we will consider it in the light of what we have been discussing this morning, namely what constitutes a matrix. Now, this is a matrix about the subject called the Christ. So, in the formula that we had this morning, that the matrix is showing A, IJ, the A now here is what? It is now the Christ. It's a matrix about the Christ. So instead of the A, we know we can put the Christ. Now, on the other hand, we have to know what is the index I and what is the index J. The index I is what you have in the column. We said we make a convention, and I have made that convention all through my books, that I always put the index I as the verticals, which you don't need to, you can choose it, but the point is that one has to know which index we consider to be the index I and which is the index J. Now, the index I would be, therefore, the index that runs on the top of that matrix as titles for the column, for the verticals. You see that? So the index I would be what you can read first as on in the Minor Prophets book as the monopotency of God good. That's the first vertical. Then the second vertical, you have there the reforming power, Christ, which I must say right now we will have to correct. This is one thing that is not really exact. But first we run through it so that we know what we are talking about. Then you have the third column, which is the restoration of the idea in consciousness as Christianity. You see that? That too is the second thing I want to correct, and then I don't want to correct anything anymore. We will consider this. And the last vertical, you have the operation of the idea in its principle. So do we understand each other when we say the index I is that which is written on the top across, though it's written horizontally, still they are the titles of the verticals. They are the titles that go vertically down. Did I make that clear for those who have never been thinking in terms of matrices? Okay. Now, the index J will be the index that is on the left-hand side of the matrix, and that index J has also four rows or lines, and the lines and rows have a common denominator again, which are defined here on the left-hand side. Yes? So the first one is the divine purpose defined, And then when we go further down, we come to the enforcement of the translation of two-ness into oneness. You have that? Then C, or the next one, the disappearance of evil and the appearance of good is rendered inescapable. And then the last one is the major prophets, namely the understanding of God. So those four constitute the index J. Yes. So all through the week we will talk the index I, the index J, and we have to know what they are. Very often, in a matrix, one indicates what the index is, which one is the index A or J, I or J, by making in the upper left corner, which is blank, to put there a diagonal, a slanted line from the upper corner left to the lower corner right. Just a slanted line. Perhaps you put it into it with your pencil. And then in order to show which is the index I and J, you put just above the slanted line, the I, and under the slanted line, the J. Can you see that? So that which is above the slanted line here goes right over and indicates the index I. What is under the slanted line is the index J, right down. That's how I would explain it to a pupil in the first grade. Huh? Now, the point is that we have then to define what the index I and J is. What are those four verticals? What is the common denominator of the index I? What is the common denominator of the index J? The common denominator of the index I, you know now what I mean, that which is written here, is what? Is Word, Christ, Christianity, and Science, which is as a common denominator what? It's the calculus. We always call those the fourfold operation. We call it the calculus. Yes? The Word, Christ, Christianity, and Science. So I put there in every vertical, first Word, and then Christ, then Christianity, and then Science. You have that? Then the index J that goes down here, again, is the fourfold calculus. And therefore, there again, I put in Word, Christ, Christianity, Science. So that we have a square matrix of 4x4, in which the fours are defined further. Namely, the index I on top, I have put those in order to help. I have put there a 1 and a 2 and a 3 and a 4. Whereas on the index J, I have put the Word, Christ, Christianity as an A, B, C, D, so as to distinguish them a little bit, so that when we talk about the Christ in the vertical, it's the number 2. If we talk about the Christ in the index J, it is B. Just to help us. But there is another point that has to be defined, and this is now the most important one, namely that the index I is the fourfold calculus on the level of absolute Christian Science. So these four verticals, the title of them, are indicating those four in the absolute sense. Yes? Whereas the four in the index J are the calculus on the level of Christian Science. Yeah? Which would mean that we get a matrix which would show, namely, first the big A, the Christ, operating as what? As the J, as a calculus of where Christ, Christianity and Science in the absolute sense, having its impact on the relative sense, on the human sense of things, namely as the calculus in Christian Science, meaning how the absolute sense of the Christ translates itself constantly to the human level, because Christian Science is the application of the truth to error, and therefore have a different office. So those two indices, J and I and J, are two differently qualified calculus of where Christ, Christianity and Science. Did I get that over clearly up to this point? No. Okay. So you can say, if you want to do that, you can say that above the slanted line on the left upper corner, you have there on the upper side an I, and you could say that is absolute, the absolute calculus. You define that I even clear and say this is the calculus, an absolute Christian Science. And what is under the slanted line is the J, which is the Christ, which is the calculus in Christian Science. So all that one can put, if one wants to put, into that upper corner, which has been left blank. You can see that also in the study aid, quickly. We have done that in another matrix, so that, namely, on page, for instance, on page 105, yes, for instance, on page 105, you could see there in the upper left corner, there is above the slanted line, divine standpoint, the I index, and underneath is a divine standpoint, a J, but that is the matrix of oneness, so that's not a good, really, a good example. Let me see, we should have somewhere the Christian Science matrix. Yeah, on page 102, that's perhaps better. On page 102, we have in the upper corner absolute standpoint as the I, and the relative standpoint as the J. So you are very free for yourself always to define, say, the upper left corner, if it's necessary, what the matrix is all about, what are the two indices, what do they mean, what do they convey. Then we have seen this morning that when we have a point of intersection, that is when a vertical meets a horizontal, that that point of intersection forms a new value. In that box, therefore, we can write the new value. On page 20 here, I just wrote in the prophet, the name of the prophet. I could have also put in a more metaphysical definition of the prophet, but for the first go, it is easier just to have the prophet there, so that you can see that what the 16 prophets are going to show us is that the first vertical is the word aspect of the Christ, the word, and the prophets that are in that column, namely Hosea, Joel, Amos, and Isaiah, that they have one common denominator. Now we have seen that every index must have a one common denominator. If they don't have that, then that is not a matrix, then it's just a tabulation, but not the matrix. You just tabulate your prophets in a nice way so that you have a better overview, but it would not be a matrix. A matrix is only then if we can define a common denominator. Now the common denominator is always written on the top of it, namely they all show the omnipotence, the monopotency of God good. So that will be the common denominator, that everything focuses around God, the power of God, and the power of God good, all those four. Then you come to the next vertical, and there we have Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, and then Jeremiah. All have a common denominator again, written on top, and that title is wrong. Or let me say, not very clear. But you remember, no, you may not remember, those who have been at my matrix summer school way back 10 years ago, we corrected that. And to correct the title, you have on page 100 of the study aid. That's why I liked you to take also the study aid with you. And you see that on the study aid we have there another title, and we will use that other title this week, namely the manifestation of the Christ likeness. So either you can correct that in the Mind Prophet book or just keep that in mind. Those four have a completely different common denominator than the first four. They all center around the question of man as God's likeness, that the Christ brings out in man Christ's likeness. And therefore, we'll see, I go over these prophets over and over and over, so we'll see that Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, and Jeremiah, they will center around the question of man as the representative of God. Is man the representative of God, or is mortal a representative of God? And therefore, we'll have to show how the Christ is that power that reforms the mortal until he is the image and likeness of God, and get from the human standpoint a sense of reforming power. And that's where I made the mistake 25 years ago, that I put into that column, the second column, the reforming power, but naturally from an absolute standpoint you have no reformation. This is looked at the whole column from a relative standpoint, then the whole vertical looked at from a relative standpoint gives that sense that Christ is the reforming power. But from the absolute standpoint, naturally, this is not so. From the absolute standpoint, the Christ says, I bring out in man the exact image and likeness of God himself. So that's why we changed it into the manifestation of the Christ likeness in man. I come back to them. I go then through the various ones. We come to the third column. And also there we changed it. We came to Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, and then Ezekiel. Those four prophets again have a common denominator, which is again very different. They have that standpoint of Christianity. Namely, they have to show that an idea, a divine idea, can never be touched. That an idea can never be defaced, that it cannot be touched, that it cannot be destroyed, that an idea remains an idea no matter what happens, and that therefore error is nothing. Those two points always come out there, that error is not something which can destroy an idea or which can hinder an idea, that the idea is always preserved, and that error is self-destroying. Therefore, we have changed that title. We have said it shows the preservation of the idea. We have it here in the study aid, that the third category, the third vertical, shows the activity of the Christ that has in view one thing, to preserve the idea eternally, so that the idea can never be touched by any phase of error, whatever. And therefore, has through those four prophets to disprove that error is also something, that error has also might and power and has a channel and has a goal and can achieve something. And therefore you can see why at that time, 25 years ago, when naturally the whole question of matrix was in the making, was not well known at that time, that I said it shows the restoration of the idea in consciousness. Naturally that's true, but again seen from the relative standpoint. From the relative standpoint, if you look at the whole vertical there, we would see that the Christ always works so that it restores always the idea, that the remnant will always be restored and will survive. So that's why I had this perhaps not quite clear definition there, the restoration of the idea, because you can easily see that from an absolute standpoint you cannot have a restoration, because the absolute does not know anything about error, does not know anything about the problem, so it has not to restore anything that went wrong. So from the absolute point of view, there is only one thing going on here in the third column of Christianity, that the Christ preserves the idea always, that that it keeps the idea inviolable, yes, so that it safeguards the idea, so that nothing can touch it, protects the idea, so that nothing can touch the idea. Gives that wonderful sense that that error can't do a thing to the idea. No matter how big the belief is, and how ferocious the attacks of error is, it cannot be victorious. The idea will always be victorious, because the Christ idea preserves the idea always. So you always have there the sense that the remnant will remain, that there will always be a remnant in Israel that will remain, and that from that remnant on we can build up again and build up again. Then in the last column, in science, the vertical, we have what I call the operation of the idea in its principle. This is a very big point. Namely, those four last prophets, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, and then Daniel, they all show one thing, that the idea operates for the glory of God and not for the glory of people. That the Christ idea wants to glorify and bring out and demonstrate the divine principle of being, and does not want to operate for selfish purposes, for material purposes, for ulterior goals. That it always must be applied so that it helps the glorification of the divine principle. It is seeking truth for truth's sake, and not seeking truth for human sake or for material sake or anything like that. So they give a wonderful sense about really the temple in their wording, about the structure of being, that everything has to help to build up the structure of being, which at that time was symbolized through the temple.